Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
All right, welcome everybody. Dr. Homebrew, we're live right now. We're going to talk about some homebrew. We're going to judge some homebrew. I'm really not because I don't have any of the beer. Actually, I think I have one of the beers for tonight, Brian, and that's it. And I'm a little disappointed because I hear we're going to be judging a Kolsch. And, I love me a Kolsch. I love me some tasty coal. So I'm a little annoyed and upset that I don't have that in front of me. But I do have a nice lager, a black lager from Urban Roots up in Sacramento, Peter Hoag's Brewery. So, you know, I'm at least still being taken care of by myself. You know what I'm trying to say?
That's a good thing.
It's a great thing, baby.
Yeah, we made sure that we had all of the Kolsches and the Dunkels and all of the non-IPA styles while we were in lockdown so that you couldn't have any.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I'm disappointed that no one ran it out to me, but that's fine. You guys are doing such a good job judging these beers and giving feedback. I feel like I can drink vicariously through your words.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
There's really nothing like a podcast of listening to people drink a beverage.
That's true.
Well, that's what Dr. Homebrew does every single time, and people love it.
That's right, baby.
It's great.
That's right. Before we get to that, though, I do want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. Go to Five Star Chemicals and learn about everything you need to do to make good beer, which is, oh, look, I'm going to spoil it for you, okay? It's cleaning and then sanitizing in that order. That's it. That's a good portion of it because there's stuff like recipe formulation and stuff like that. I don't know anything about
process.
That. Yeah.
Ingredients, quality ingredients. Well, you can have all the quality ingredients in the world and put it in a dirty ass carboy and it's going to turn out like crap.
I mean, so if you're not changing your recipe in the minutest, slightest detail every time, are you really a home brewer? That's a question I want to pose.
If you're not changing five things every single time, a lot, not a little bit, are
That's
you
true.
Really a home brewer?
No.
I mean, come on.
I don't think that you are, yeah. All these kids, reviewing their recipe every time. Pish posh. You do that on the fly in front of the entire grain bin. You do not go in prepared into the homebrew shop. Are you kidding me? It's insane. But anyway, check them out. FiveStarChemicals.com. They're a big supporter of the show. We like what they're doing. I'm assuming they like what we're doing, but who really knows? I feel like we just get a pat on the head and, you guys are trying. It's good. But no, they make some good stuff. And if you're not using their chemicals, you really should. If your homebrew shop doesn't stock it, either ask them to do that or find another one, to be honest with you. That's all I got to say about that. Here we are. We're in another lockdown situation. Not really lockdown, but we're still at home. We're social distancing. I feel like this is going to be it for quite a while.
Yeah, for me, it's house arrest. So, fine difference.
That's right.
Well, none of us can leave. So, what's the difference?
Yeah, well,
is
no.
With or without ankle-based bracelet, Brian?
My ankles are okay.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Well,
good.
He has an ankle bracelet, Char, but it's not an ankle monitor. They're very different.
Yeah, it's not for those purposes.
Yeah. Cooper is definitely trying to live, laugh, love. And, I feel like that's really.
Yeah, I got it on Etsy. It's awesome.
We're going to be joined by Paul. Well, actually, if you're watching live, you can see Paul right now on the camera. Paul, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just sitting here enjoying you guys go back and forth.
Nice. Well, you're like, it's.
Yeah. And the behind the scenes. Can't forget the behind the scenes.
Sure.
Paul must be a glutton for punishment because you've gotten to enjoy our humor a few times already. As a repeat offender, as I like to call them on our show. What keeps you coming back? Did we actually help you improve something?
He's under house arrest.
Yeah,
he has nothing to do.
Yeah, it's entertaining. So yeah,
good times.
All right. Poor Paul. It's dark where he is. If you can see, it's like, we're in the twilight of the day, and Paul's like, "Bro, I've been up for too long. Can we just get? Can you just tell me about my beer?
Get on with it."
What beer are we going to drink from you, Paul?
Well, I think you guys said Kolsch. It's actually not a Kolsch. It's a British Golden Ale.
Brian Cooper looks surprised by this.
He's like, no wonder this is the worst kolsch I've ever had.
Okay.
Does that change?
Oh, we have to restart.
Does that, how did we figure out what it was a kolsch? And by we, I mean you guys, because my hands are clean on this one.
You know, maybe I look back at it. Did you send us a kolsch prior a long time ago?
No, originally the beer was going to be the kolsch, but the kolsch is finishing time. Okay. Yeah, and in that ridiculously long email thread somewhere in there, I said, you know, the kolsch isn't ready. How about this BGA instead?
So. Okay. I remember you saying it, that the kolsch wasn't ready. And then, so I didn't read carefully enough.
That's all right, man. Skimming got me through high school and 4 years of junior college, so it's fine.
So we don't have a kolsch.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break. We're going to take a break anyways. And then we're going to come back. We'll talk to Paul. We'll give you boys a couple minutes to review your findings and rejudge Paul's beer. Does that sound fair? All right.
Sure.
Hang on, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Now serving patient number 189. Number 189 to the counter, please.
Now back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks very much for hanging on. We have corrected our score sheets. Apparently, I was being a little too liberal with the time that my co-hosts needed. And they are ready to go. They're ready to make this transition. Brian is opening a bottle. Again,
we're going to do our best.
That's right. We're going to do our best. So, Paul, tell me what this is again. This is not a Kolsch. I've gotten that far.
Yeah, it's not. It's a British Golden Ale.
And what is a British Golden Ale? Like, what would be a commercial example of that?
I never had a commercial example, so I don't really know.
Damn it, Paul.
I didn't come prepared.
That's all right. Is it, that's fine. You know what? I'll let the master BJCP judges describe it a little bit, and hopefully I can get a handle on that. Is this something you've made before?
I made it once before, yeah.
Okay. All right. Same recipe? Or
no.
Just completely.
Five things.
Okay. See, then now you're a homebrewer. Forget this recipe. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. I could change a little tiny thing, but I'm just going to strip it down to the studs and rebuild it. Brian Schaar, why don't you go first and tell us about this beer?
I would be happy to, Mr. Petros. So,
thanks,
Paul. Thank you for joining us. And I have to say, you have by far the best hair for a COVID-19 lockdown video event. So good job, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
It's looking really good. you'll notice I've kind of clipped mine off the top of the screen on purpose. Yeah. So, and you've been on the show before, but in case people mm-hmm. haven't listened to your immediate past episodes right before this, are you in a homebrew club?
No, not anymore. I used to be, but then when I was... my job requires a lot of travel, so yeah. I just never got a chance to really attend the meeting. So,
no, that's cool. I mean, it's funny. One of the women in my homebrew club was at the store once and mentioned to a friend she was going to a meeting, and the person behind her at the grocery was like, "Yeah, I'm going to a meeting right afterward too." And she's like, "It's a totally different kind of meeting." It's you have to be careful with the meetings. So I appreciate your clarifying what beer this is. I'm not sure I've ever had a British Golden Ale. I was looking at the BJCP style guidelines, and the examples they give are all clearly British, as you would expect. It's the Fuller's Discovery, Golden Hill, Exmoor Gold, the Kelham Island Pale Rider, the Moreland Old Golden Hen. You know, I guess if you've had Old Speckled Hen, you know, I may have seen like a golden version of that, like a good liquor store, maybe a while back, but I couldn't be sure. But the overall impression the comparisons of this beer, the guidelines state that it's similar to an American pale ale, but lower in alcohol, features British ingredients, no caramel, and fewer esters compared to British bitters or pale ales. So, I mean, that makes sense. It kind of situates that on the spectrum. So for listeners who also were probably not real familiar with this beer, that's a little something. And hey, next time we get to travel to the UK, maybe in 2030 or something, when we're no longer a giant national ship of the damned and we're allowed to travel, maybe we'll get a chance to have some fresh on tap. So I enjoyed this beer. On opening, there wasn't a lot of hiss, but there was some hiss. It was appropriate size, fill, et cetera. There was a low aroma overall, kind of a low malt sweetness. Didn't get any hop aroma. Low grain character. I noted from the standpoint of Kolsch, no wheat character. That comment still stands. I didn't get any wheat character out of this beer. So it'll be hilarious if you put like 10 pounds of wheat in here, but I didn't get the wheat. Very low fruitiness, kind of like a grape juice, but not super fruity. No off aromas. I did adjust a little bit. I gave this 7 out of 12, primarily because the guidelines call for hop aroma to be low, moderately low to moderately high. And I just didn't really get much hop aroma here. And coming back to the warm sample, when you'd expect more of the hop aroma to come out, there's just really, I myself didn't get really any hop aroma here.
The style is meant to be served cold too. They won't. It's kind of a summer beer, I guess. So yeah,
right. And that makes sense. Appearance 3 out of 3. I was going to call this on the absolute kind of dark end for Kolsch, and this is, it's so hard to judge color, as everyone knows, because if it's not a standard uniform vessel under standard uniform lighting. I mean, I need to put my lights on in here in a little bit. It's not super bright in this room. And this is kind of a thicker glass than you would get, or a wider glass that you would have at a judging. So it's maybe not a fair glass to pour the beer into, but it's much more you'd expect from a golden ale. It's a golden color right here. So it's what you'd expect. Extremely clear with maybe a very mild haze. It's a large head that settles quickly and persists on the edges. Still 3 out of 3 for a golden ale. Although I think it's more clearly a 3 out of 3 as a Belgian golden ale than as a Kolsch. Flavor. Initially, the flavor is a soft malt, followed by, I thought, a distinctly plum fruitiness. A lot of the time, I have a difficult time identifying this specific fruits when there's, you know, some sort of fermentation, fruitiness, hop fruitiness, whatever. And I could end up being kind of suggestible. I really noticed a definite plum fruitiness in the flavor, not overwhelming, but it kind of, it was definitely present at a low level. And that's the kind of dead air you want on Dr. Homebrew when someone's talking about a beer and goes to have a sip of it right there.
It's true.
The kind of dead air you only get on this show, folks.
It's appropriate.
Exactly. Appropriate to style?
Maybe.
I don't know. There is a low bitterness that rises to firm bitterness in mid-palate, which I like. As a Kolsch, I liked that because, you know, something like a Reisdorf, which is one of my favorite Kolsches to get in the U.S. when it's fresh, like a Reisdorf has a nice firm bitterness mid-palate. It's not super bitter. It's not an IPA, but it's not purely a malt-focused beer. And this one isn't supposed to be either. There is a medium to medium-high bitterness that's definitely here. Hop flavor, moderate to moderate high. And that's kind of where I knocked this beer off some. I didn't really get much hop flavor in this beer. The bitterness was real nice, but in terms of, this is going to be more like a cousin of an American pale ale. There needs to be more hop flavor. And unless somehow there's a British style of hop that has a plummy flavor, which is possible. I mean, I'm not up to date on every single modern British hop varietal. I'm just not getting the hop flavor here.
Unforgivable.
Sorry, JP. What's
that? Oh, I just said it's unforgivable. How dare you not be up on every single British hop varietal?
Yeah, British hop growers, please send Dr. Homebrew every variety.
That's right.
We'll be giving you Brian Cooper's address momentarily. So yes, please.
Well, they often make these with American hops as well. So as things, you know, change and progress and the American craft beer scene came up, like the British don't just use British hops anymore. They use whatever they want, just like us.
Oh, no. And I, a brief digression, when I was in London like 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, it was getting to be hard to find traditional British styles because everybody wanted to make APA and they were importing American hops to make American IPA in London. I'm like, guys, I want to have a British beer. But the guidelines do point out that this is supposed to be sort of a showcase for British ingredients. So probably the best examples, you're not required to, but probably the best examples of this style are going to have the British hops. Finish is long and balanced, really well attenuated. So good job on your fermentation. No off flavors, gave that 13 out of 20. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. Medium to light body. Or medium light body, medium low carbonation, which now that I know this is a British style, I guess low to moderate carbonation on draft. The British really don't like carbonated beverages. They just really don't, unless they're drinking a Budweiser or something like that. A lager, if you're going to have a lager, you want it to be very well carbonated. But if you're having like a other thing that's not a lager, carbonation is typically not a British thing. No warming, more perky than creamy, no astringency. Give this 5 out of 5 for mouthfeel.
Nice.
Overall impression, 7. I think this is a very pleasant and tasty beer. There's no off flavors, no off aromas. The only, my comments had to do with recipe issues for not being quite a Kolsch. Imagine that, because it's not a Kolsch. that's where my recipe comments came in. And frankly, the comment that I would make for overall impression is what I made for flavor. I think it's really well made. I'll be curious when we chat after Brian has judged this, how old this is, and if perhaps age played a role in why the hop flavor wasn't as prominent. But I would do exactly what you did last time, next time, maybe bump up the flavor hops that or submit to us or to competition much earlier. But I suspect it's an age issue, not because I'm noticing any oxidation or anything, but because that's just what seems to happen with regard to older beers. And I will quickly, I don't know, Zoom has suddenly become like a one-by-one postage stamp. I'll screw with that later. Can you guys still see me?
Yep.
We sure can.
You're good,
perfect.
Buddy.
So that's 10, 23, 35. So I gave this overall a 35, which is very good. And I think this has the potential to be a really excellent, if not outstanding beer in the meaning of the style guidelines. So excellent. Well done, Paul. Thank you very much.
Cool.
Very good. All right, Brian Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah, we just had the BJCP members meeting that they normally have at HomebrewCon, and they were talking about the provisional styles. It's something that they don't know what trends are going to come and what's going to go. Some of these beers are available in certain places in the world, and they want to give people a way to judge them. So I really kind of like the provisional styles. It gives them a way to do that without having to redo the whole exam and change everything. So it's. Oh, this new style popped up and then it disappears next week, like Black IPA did or whatever. And it's like, oh, we're stuck with this now. It can be there, right? They wrote a whole style, I guess, for Brut IPA. And then by the time they finished it, it was just, the scene was done,
Good. Thank God.
Thank God.
Just funny. BJCP members log on and listen to that meeting. That's some fun stuff to say about, a lot of different topics of the day, but I digress. Paul, nice to put a face to the voice and the name. So we've talked to you a few times, and you've sent us some good beers in the past.
Yeah, same here.
This Kolsch is fantastic. it did have a light hiss when I opened it. Seemed like a good fill in the nose. I'm getting a there's some similarities between the styles here. So as I'm looking and translating from, Kolsch to British Golden, it's a light, refreshing beer, kind of, crisp, and there's a little hop to it. And it's nice. And it's a good summer beer. It's refreshing, on the, on the dark side for Kolsch, probably on towards the dark side for British Golden. But I'll get to that soon. I got a pleasant, low, grainy, kind of lightly biscuity malt aroma with faint hints of kind of an earthy hop and a little bit of citrus, I thought. Clean, just a low, light bit of fruity yeast character. It's not a super fruity beer. And I thought I got maybe a tiny whiff of caramel, but I might be imagining it. It's just because, you know, you're thinking British now. I was thinking German. Yeah, it was different. But there's no diacetyl. It smells fresh and inviting. You know, pale golden color with a medium, somewhat frothy, bubbly white head that fades fairly soon after pouring. And this, you know, on the British Golden or the Kolsch, it can fade pretty well, you know, if it's, especially if it's a more low carbonated for the British. And it's not super super carbonated, but it's, you know, it held its carbonation well in the bottle, I'd say. There's still a good amount there. It pours up a nice little head for a bit, but it fades down. So that's okay. You know, it goes to kind of a collar of some, you know, finer bubbles around the edge and a little bit of cover here as it after it fades. So flavor-wise, it's a lightly it's light overall, pleasantly balanced with a kind of a clean, biscuity, slightly grainy. I don't know, I thought kind of wine cracker, like just kind of plain malt, you know.
Wine cracker. Whoa.
Well, yeah.
Wine cracker.
Well, it's not bready, and it's not like a, you know, a super hearty cracker. It's like a light cracker. Okay. You know, right. You got to differentiate between your crackers.
You really do, man. Amen to that.
Especially with three of us doing the show.
Says the cracker to the other cracker. there's low bitterness. I would say probably a little bit too low for the British Golden style, and it could have faded a little bit if it's been in the bottle for a while, which I know it's been in there a little bit. There's a little touch of some spicy hop in there too. In the flavor, it was kind of hard to get at the exact hop character because it's pretty low. The beer does finish dry.
You could talk me into that, Brian.
The beer does finish dry. It has I got some faint kind of minerality to it. Like, I don't know what the water was, but it's not just kind of plain, boring water. There's something here that's more than just the, you know, garden variety, almost no minerals in the water kind of a thing. With a light beer like this, you probably want, you know, a little bit of mineral in there to balance it out, kind of give it a touch of firmness, you know. The hops, I do get a little bit of hop lingering in the aftertaste, though, a little spice and earth. The beer is so clean, it's nice that there's no real faults, and the light flavors that are there kind of shine through to the end, and it's clean and it's refreshing. So it is pleasant that way. Body wise, mouthfeel it's medium light bodied, and has kind of a crisp impression. I guess it probably have a medium to medium low carbonation. Not getting any obvious astringency. But there is a little bit of a bite there, possibly from the minerals playing off something in there. But no warmth. It's not really a creamy beer or anything like that. But yeah, we'll call this a pretty nice drinking British Golden. Great for a warm summer day. I judged the first one last night when I thought it was a Kolsch, and I found it to be very refreshing and easy to drink. And, you know, I actually kind of liked it as a Kolsch too. It wasn't bad. It's close enough. And here's the real travesty. I actually poured it into my Kolsch glass just for fun, because I have a Stange in my my beer glass collection. And I was like, well,
why not?
It's a little hazy and dark for a Kolsch, but I'll pour it in there just in front of it. I drank the rest of it out of that.
Well, it's probably all the dust.
No, I cleaned it out.
Next time you enter Germany, Brian, they're gonna pull you out of line and take you into a special little room.
I put it on loop. You can see the bubbles rising continually there.
Yeah, I'm not really. But
okay,
well, that's a good effort. Whatever. It looked cool anyway.
I thought it was, you know, nicely bottled. It kept the carbonation that was in there, you know, stayed in there. It could be lightened up color wise just a touch,
okay.
Make it a little more delicate, maybe bump up the hops a bit. So yeah, finally brewed beer. I landed on a 37. I thought it was, you know, very, wow, very, very good.
That's very good.
Cool.
All right. Paul, what do you think, man? You got feedback, questions, angers, swears to throw around issues. Callously? What are you going to talk about?
No, I mean, I appreciate the feedback. You know, this the first time I brewed, I really liked it. This batch, I don't think, turned out as well as the other one. I think the first one I brewed was closer to an American Pale Ale. You know, Brian Char, you mentioned, you know, age. You know, this one I brewed on May 28th. So it was very, pretty close. Yeah. It was pretty close, but I was rushing to get this beer finished and, you know, finished fermenting, carbonated and packaged and sent out to you guys. I neglected the dry hopping stage, which is what I did with the previous batch. And that one made a big difference. You know, color wise, you know, I'll give you the recipe real quick. I mean, yeah, it's 100% Maris Otter. That's it. There's no other specialty malt, no other malt in there. And that's what 100% Maris Otter looks like when you mash it at 152 degrees.
Okay. Yeah. That is a little darker than I would have guessed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
real hops, nice though.
Yeah. Thanks. Hops, just a 9.5 IBUs of German Magnum. By the way, there are no English hops in there because I don't have any English hops on hand. So
it's all our imagination.
You know, it's just Magnum for bittering, nice clean hop there. And then I use a combination of Mosaic and Galaxy at 15 minutes, and then more Mosaic and more Galaxy for a 20-minute whirlpool at 175 degrees.
How much Mosaic and how much Galaxy?
In all, this beer is 38 IBU.
Okay.
So, for a 6-gallon batch, it was a 0.5 ounce each at 15 minutes, and then a little over three quarters of an ounce. I did it in grams. It's 24 grams each in Mosaic and Galaxy. 20-minute whirlpool, and I was going to do another ounce of each for a dry hop.
I think that would have helped it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, the beer got to you on the day you guys were going to do the show, and it got to you on the day it was going to do the show, and right. Brian number two, it didn't get there in time. So, you know, sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. It's UPS. I won't bore everyone with my problems with UPS that I had about that time in a different box. But I showed up. I was gone like for the day. And maybe one of the issues was this box, which you had very nicely packed, was sitting on my porch in the direct sunlight on a very hot day. Nice.
Hell yes, brother. That is exactly how you should treat beers. 100%. Yeah.
So that's going to give you some artificial aging. But still, I would have expected to have a little more Mosaic, but they're very distinctive hops.
Yeah.
And 38 IBUs is not nothing. So I will blame that on the shipper or not the show on the carrier, not you as the shipper. I'll blame that on the carrier leaving that out in the sun all day. The day after I was supposed to get it.
Yeah, like, don't you know there's like homebrew in here? You can't be leaving out.
Yeah, that's right.
But I did a bottle for myself the same time I sent it to you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed at how clear it got, because when I bottled it, it was some hazy looking shit. So,
a little haze in the last pour when I poured it out into that Kolsch glass. It was hazier than the one I had judged.
some yeast sediment in there.
Yeah.
It's really clear, man.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
It's not crystal clear, but it's the lack of clarity here is like focus on the webcam and maybe a little bit of condensation, but it's maybe just a hint of haze.
Oh, that's a little. Well, hazy.
That's the very bottom of the bottle, man.
Yeah, I think Brian swirled that bottle just to mess with Paul a little bit.
Yeah. That's the hazy British Golden. That's the new style, the new hotness.
Don't give anybody ideas, bro. Please, for the love of Christ.
The British Golden milkshake.
Yeah. Well, Paul, do you have anything else you want to clarify or ask questions about?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, in terms of, I guess I do, you know, in terms of the hops, you know, if I did that dry hopping edition, I'm sure that would have been better. And I think also sticking to using actual English ingredients for an English style beer might be a good idea too. I mean, it was a English ale, dry yeast, some Noddy.
Okay. Yeah, I was just about to ask you, is the Nottingham a dry yeast?
Yeah, Lallemand. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the water? Yeah, anything there? Any mineral additions or?
No mineral additions. Just filtered it through a carbon filter. Water is pretty average. I mean, it's I have the iDip and I measure it every now and then, and it's pretty consistent. It's not boring. Too high in mineral. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of boring.
Midwestern water. You're close to a lot of lakes there. Right.
Yeah. Well, in Jersey.
Oh, no. Okay. West, East Coast water.
Midwestern right. Jersey. Is that like between the Atlantic and Philadelphia? Yeah. That's like Princeton, Midwestern Jersey and Princeton.
Yeah. The far western.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. There's another guy coming on later from Wisconsin. I always get mixed up.
That's all right. No, that's all right. Cool. I was just giving you shit because you asked where I was earlier. So
that's all right.
No, I mean other than the hops, I think it's fine. I mean, this is I enjoyed it after, you know, mowing the lawn in 96 degree weather. So it's 4.5% alcohol too. So you can definitely kill a few of these. And
that's my jam, dude.
Hell yeah!
I'm already, more jealous than ever.
Yeah. I've killed a couple of them in the last 2 days here. Like, it's actually pretty rare when we're judging Dr. Homebrew beers that I'll finish the whole bottle, but this is one that I finished the whole bottle, and I might do the same thing right now.
Well, there
Why
you
not?
Go.
It's all cool. Hazy now. It's a little more interesting with the haze.
Yeah,
hazy.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna
let's call it
I'm
interesting.
I'm gonna rebrew this one. I'll do the dry hopping edition, and then I'm also rebrewing that Kolsch because it's just about done.
Okay.
And I'd love to send that to you guys, an actual Kolsch.
That would be great.
Yeah, please do.
We'll judge it as a dark strong, a Belgian dark strong.
Yes.
I'll get you to send one bottle to JP just so he can have it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
well,
totally.
You send them all to Brian and he'll drive it over to me, I'm sure. I'm sure he would love to do that. Come out here to the...
Got nothing better to do on a Tuesday night.
The High Delta. All right, Paul, well, we'll let you go, man, if that's it.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. Thanks a lot. Cool. I appreciate your time, guys.
All right, thanks, brother. Take it easy, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye. All right, well, that sounded like good stuff.
Yeah.
Jersey it was quite tasty. You know, it was, even though we judged it wrongly in the first place, it was still a good beer. And it didn't have any, like we were talking about, it didn't have any off flavors, didn't have any off aromas. And the only issues were recipe issues. And frankly, that was the same feedback that we had for when we realized what it was.
Yeah. It's, mostly just, little adjustments, and it'll be a 40-point beer.
Hell
That's
yeah.
right.
All right, let's take a quick break, everybody. And we'll come right back with Brandon. Excuse me, I think something like that.
It would be Nate.
Nate. There he is, jumped in the waiting room. Man, I love this. This is great. Everyone's humming along just fine. Everyone's coming on the right time. It's good stuff. All right, everybody, hang on. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. We are on with Nate. Nate, how's it going, brother?
Great, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. Just hanging out. What beer did you send everybody and not me?
So, Katharina Sour. This one's cranberry.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if I have that somewhere.
Probably just flashed his address on the screen. I'm sorry. Somebody can gray that out.
Yeah, somebody can do that. We'll fix it in post. It'll be fine. It will never happen. Katarina Sauer, have you done this style of beer before?
One time, I did a split batch here where I did, I sent in one maybe a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and then I did a split batch between this and cranberry, and then I did, I can't remember what the other batch was.
Wow. It was another Katarina Sauer, and I remember we judged that and talked about that one, and it was really good. I liked it a lot.
Passion fruit, that's right, passion fruit, yep. So okay. I used that already, puree, so yep. This one's got whole cranberries. Yeah. So.
Oh, nice. I feel like cranberry is a good pairing with that kind of beer, because the Katarina Sours, aren't they just a little aggressively tart? I don't know. I'm not super familiar with them. I feel like all the ones we've had on this show have been from like three people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with cranberry, I'd worry that it would get too tart, because you get
100%
cranberry juice, you know? Like when you get a bladder infection or something. Yeah. That stuff, wow, it's so tart. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I love
it. You experience there, Cooper?
How do you balance a beer with that? Well, one time I thought there was something going on, so I just went for it. But yeah, I don't know.
It was
probably just all in my head.
Well, yeah, I have the pictures if you want to. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Cooper, well, why don't you go ahead and start us off with this, man, since you have an intimate knowledge of cranberry juice.
Yep, and I'm going to go grab the Katarina Sour myself while you're talking, my friend.
Yeah, so I think it's, what is it, BJCP. So if you want to follow along, just search X4 BJCP on your interwebs device, and it comes up with Katarina Sauer. Yeah, this is one that came from, I believe, it's South American or Latin somewhere. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, but it sure is an interesting style. The ones I've had, it's a light and refreshing wheat ale with a clean lactic sourness. Balanced by fresh fruit addition. That's pretty much all you get. There should be no hop flavors, malt flavors. It's just sour and fruit, pretty much, and refreshing. With maybe a little wheat, I guess, if you dig under all the fruit. But I got in the nose, nice, pleasant cranberry up front. So it should be very low malt component, lightly grainy, I guess, kind of clean. A clean lactic sourness, but it's also light in the nose. With the cranberry, I thought maybe it'd be a little more biting and harsh, but it's not. No hop noted. Medium fruity esters, no DMS or diacetyl or anything like that. It's a very clear, pretty kind of pinkish red-ish, orangish color. low head that falls soon after pouring. Mostly finer bubbles. It's just kind of, and the bubbles are kind of pinkish white. It's interesting. That cranberry just reaching out into every aspect of the beer here.
Nice.
The flavor, light refreshing tart character with fresh cranberry alongside that, has a pleasant, kind of a sweet tarts candy-like impression. And it finishes dry, so that just kind of, it's like you chewed a piece of candy and just dry. Your tongue dries off and that lingers there like you just chewed a sweet tart. But not as intense on the sourness, I would say, as the candy. But it's reminiscent of that. Clean fermentation, balances definitely to the fruit and slightly to the sourness. It's probably kind of even between the two. Both of them are fairly they're there and they're noticeable, and there's not anything else stomping on them. But they kind of play off each other nicely, and they both linger into the aftertaste. No hop flavor or no bitterness. I thought I got a light little kind of a seedy, like a tannic kind of thing. I guess maybe in the mouthfeel too, but like an impression of kind of seeds. I don't know. Do cranberries have seeds in them?
Do not have seeds.
Yeah, but like a kind of a pithy impression. Like maybe it could be from the skins or something else from the fruit.
Yeah.
Kind of. I guess maybe pithy is a little bit better way to put it. But it's just kind of an edge. It's not too distracting. Or just a light note that I kind of noticed in there. It's like when you get like a raspberry mead or something that has like raspberries and the seeds are in there a little bit, you get this kind of tannic edge to it. That's reminiscent of that a little bit. And maybe just because there's not much else here for anything to hide behind. It's just a really light beer overall.
Yeah.
But yeah, the body's medium light. Carbonation is maybe a bit lower than hoped. I would probably bring that up a bit. Medium low, should be medium to high. There's no warmth here. That's fine. A tiny hint of astringency from that, whatever I was getting. refreshingly crisp and smooth, though, otherwise. Overall, I'd say, yeah, the balance is right. And the fruit tastes fresh. It tastes all the way through. The fruit, you know, sticks through the, you know, lightly in the aroma, comes in the flavor nicely, sticks through the aftertaste, dries off. It's left there on your tongue. I would say that, you know, cranberry is maybe a less typical choice for the fruit to put in this style. So I don't know if any makers down there, do they have access to cranberries down there? I don't know. But, I would say, too, that bringing up the carbon dioxide a little bit would help it pop just a little bit more. But, yes, yeah, it's a great recipe. It's a good beer for a hot day, even though it's a sour. It's not like a sour that you just have to sip. It's a sour that you can quaff a bit here. And it's
there you go.
Yeah, I'd like a little more carbonation. I think it's really, really good for what it is. And interesting choice of fruit. I gave it a 38. I liked it a lot.
All right. Excellent.
Excellent.
Brian Schaar.
All right. I really enjoyed this beer also. I think when Brian started talking about it, I went into my kitchen to go pour myself some. So if I'm repeating anything about Katarina Sour, please tell me to shut up and move on.
Shut up and move on.
But but I really like this style. It's like a Berliner Weiss that's stronger and has fruit. Kind of a kettle sour, lactic only sourness. And it's a beer that you're not supposed to have Brett character. And it didn't. And it had lactic, not so much lactic as to be unpleasant. I really enjoyed this, especially because I don't generally like cranberry. And on top of that, Brian, I did look up on Google, and according to Google, cranberries do have seeds, like edible seeds inside. I didn't look up the details, but that's just kind of interesting. I never really thought about that.
Who's knocking their microphone around? What's happening?
Want me?
Okay.
I'm not
touching. And Nate's muted. I'll mute myself.
All right. Something was going on. Sorry. So it was hard to hear like the last little bit, Schaar.
Okay. No, I don't think I'm touching anything around my mic. So aroma, I got a medium cranberry character in the aroma. A little pomegranate-like also, and a little high C. This pomegranate, I think, is not dissimilar to cranberry anyway.
Yeah.
A little bit of like high C fruit punch. Kind of general fruit, no hop aroma, no alcohol aroma, like very low malt. Aroma was kind of at a medium, you know, low to medium level overall. Very pleasant, gave that 9 out of 12. Appearance is very clear. Probably I would venture to say it's crystal clear. It's the appearance when I sampled this initially. I thought it was like a rosé wine. It's dark enough in here. I need to turn my lights up again some more. But if this were, outside on a summer day, this would definitely be like a rosé wine color, and kind of also a pleasant thing to drink on a nice warm summer day, like a rosé. A low head that is somewhat persistent. Nice job, 3 out of 3. Flavor is initially berry and cranberry. Like with the aroma, there's a little pomegranate in the flavor also. There's a medium acidity that follows. And my note from before, more sour than funky. It's not funky at all. There's lactic sourness, and I don't get any hint of bread, which is, again, the key to the style is you want lactic, but not the bread funk. Very low hop bitterness. Malt isn't really noticeable, but it's not really supposed to be a standout in the style. Yeah, this is about the lactic and about the fruit. If you had, you know, like 20 pounds of Maris Otter in here, I think it would just be a hot mess. You probably wouldn't want to finish, you know, a full pint of that. finish is of medium length and it's dry. Lactic is a kind of a, the notes that I had, the previous bottle that we had judged, how long ago was that now, Brian? Probably a couple months ago. April. Yeah, so more than a couple months ago. I think that had a little more lactic than this bottle.
Time has no meaning in this era.
Right.
I don't know what the frick month it is. I think July is almost done.
Watch your language, Cooper. Jeez.
Rocktober.
I think in post you're going to have like clocks and watches like floating to and from like around in space and a vortex and stuff.
Pink Floyd comes in the background.
Exactly. I think that sample had more lactic character. And I'll be curious when we talk afterwards about if these were bottle conditioned or not. And it may just be my perception of that day was that it was more lactic. It may be identical in lactic. That's the weird thing about judging the same thing separated in time by a couple of months.
Four months.
Yeah, it was probably more carbonated than the other one.
Yeah, this one was, my notes were low to medium carbonation. This sample is definitely more of a low. And I noticed there was a mouth puckering character after the first sip in a good way with regard to mouthfeel. And I get a little of that. Well, yeah, I do get a little of that still with this. So that's definitely still present. No warming, low body. I gave it 3 out of 5. I really just like Brian. I wanted more carbonation in this. Overall impression, 7 out of 10. I thought it was really flavorful and really tasty. I did get a little astringency out of the mouthfeel. And again, like we were talking about seeds, and it can be tough when you're talking about sour beer to talk about astringency, because that's part of what the sourness is astringency. So it's not, on the one hand, it's not entirely fair to say, oh, your sour beer is astringent. On the other hand, there's maybe something about the fruit character that maybe gave it a hint of the astringency, which is partly why this got a 3 out of 5 on the mouthfeel. My notes are the cranberry level is perfect, or the seeds getting fermented. So this is, I think we were thinking, our minds were going to the same place, kind of like with, for example, like grape seeds, which can end up being really, can add astringency to wine or to beverages that you ferment grapes in. But overall, I'm going to finish this sample here. I will probably end up finishing the bottle, depending on how much time we end up having here. But I really enjoyed it. 35 out of 50. Would drink again.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Wonderful. Nate. You ready, brother? You're muted. There you go. What's up, man? Do you have any questions for these guys?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate your review there, and I'll just make a couple of comments here with some of the comments that I heard from you guys. So, as I described before, so I made a six gallon batch here, basically, and I split that twice, or split in half, I guess. So I did that. The passion fruit for half of it, and then the cranberry for the second half. And I think typically the style calls for more of tropical fruit, but here in central Wisconsin, there's a lot of cranberries, and I've got a friend of mine that I usually get quite a few cranberries from to make some wine, and I want to do something a little different here. And I just thought that the sour of this Catharina sour would play well with those cranberries. Yeah. So just wanted to mess around and do something a little different, maybe not totally typical to style, and just balance with that sourness. So
cool.
Yeah.
So what I did with the cranberries there, so after, basically I've got them frozen into a Ziploc bag. And what I do is put them in a sous vide cooker that holds a temperature for a couple hours. So I just kind of try to pasteurize them. So I try to keep them about 135 for a couple hours and not really cook them, try to avoid getting some of those like pithy flavors, like you said, from either the seeds or from the skin. So I try to minimize that by keeping the temperature low, but long enough to maybe, kill any microbes that might be in there and screw with fermentation. But with it being a sour, it's probably not so critical in doing something like that. But I did wind up adding a couple of couple ounces of puree to some cranberry puree just to kick up that flavor a little bit, because it just seemed like I didn't get enough, you know, of that flavor from just the cranberries themselves. So I could have maybe, instead of used 3 pounds, went to like a 5 or 6 pounds. But with what I already did there, I figured it would just be easier to add a little bit of puree that I had on hand. That's that amaretti. And, you know, as far as purees go and extracts go, I think that provides some really good flavor versus some other things that I've tried, some of the artificial stuff. So
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple of questions regarding the carbonation, or comments rather. So yeah, I'm kind of filling bottles off my kegerator. So it's always difficult to try to maintain that CO2. Kind of got like a wand that I try to keep pressurized there, but just it's kind of tough just to maintain that CO2. So I think your last podcast there, I think I don't know if it was Evan, but he talked about some apparatus he had to really maintain that carbonation. So I've been kind of looking around, and I think I kind of scoped out what he was looking at. So I might try that going forward if I send you guys some more beer, just to try to help keep that carbonation level up where it should be.
Hell yeah.
You use the picnic tap with the little a stopper around it to kind of, yeah, and it just kind of release pressure as it fills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, they got a stainless seal, almost like a straw with a stopper on there. Yeah. So I kind of purge it with CO2. I've got one of those little handheld CO2s for like eggs. So I kind of purge the bottle and I keep it cold, and actually kind of do a pre-rinse with the beer too, just to, you know, try to do my best to keep the foam down and keep it cold. But it's tough when you're filling off a kegerator there. So I'm going to try that pressurized one and see if I get a little better results with that. So
yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I hope it works out for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hard to get it just right.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Carbonation is kind of a bitch. It's really tough, man. It's really tough.
It's easy in a keg, but when you go to bottles, it's tough to maintain that.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Yeah. All right, Nate. Well, if that's it, I guess we'll let you go.
Sounds good, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your feedback.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Nice to meet you this time. Thank you, Nate. Face to face and all that. And enjoy. My brother spends a lot of time in Wisconsin, and I enjoy New Glarus beers. Best beer tour in the world is New Glarus, as far as I'm concerned. Dan Carey came out and said hi and asked him a couple questions. It's great. And they make that they do make that Cranbic, so I wondered if maybe that was a little bit of an inspiration, you know?
Oh, sure.
So the cranberries are around you there. They do some fun stuff, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Nate.
Thanks. Take it easy. Have a great night.
All right, later, dude. You too.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that sounds good. Maybe I do have that, actually. I'll go dig, you know, between shows, I'll go dig around for that beer. Maybe I do have it.
You should do that.
Yeah, I will. All right. Well, I think that's it. We've already taken our 2 breaks, right? I'm not missing anything. We're all done.
What? Do we need to plug anybody?
No.
All right.
We're all good, baby. That's all automated.
We've plugged our pluggables.
That's correct. We're all taken care of, I guess. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get out of here. How about that?
If anybody wants to send me a beer, though, us a beer, please hit up brian@thebrewingnetwork.com. And please send us your best or your worst beers. We'll take any variety. If you want feedback on how to fix it, we'll help you out. If you want feedback on how to win a competition with it, we'll try to help you out. Thank you.
That's right.
Brian@brewingnetwork.com.
Yes, please. And that's really what we're after. We are sort of after, you know, bad beers. That's what we're looking for. That's how we
like those.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, everybody. And, you know, until next time, we'll, send us beers, like Brian just said. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Stay away from each other. God's sakes.
6 feet.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.